Thanks, Julie. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Anne. As Julie suggested, this is the first time I've chaired the Safety Anne for a number of months. So conscious of the fact that the people who dial in tend to sort of change on a week-by-week basis, I thought what I'd do is just start off with giving you a quick heads up as to my role and in particular my involvement in safety. And then we'll move on to the bulk of the call, which is a reflection on the past week, a review of the stand down briefings, a look at the summer safety campaign, and then bearing in mind that you can probably get most of that information from our safety website, I wanted to include at the end a personal reflection on safety and where I believe we're heading as a route in terms of our safety initiatives. So, my role within the route is to be head of business change. And so as the title suggests, I'm responsible for the delivery of all change initiatives. And my team, which has I suppose been enhanced over and above the Delta programme, are responsible for delivering those changes. I joined the Alliance back in April of last year, and I moved into a Wessex route role in September when we reshaped the Alliance. My role was broadened at that stage, so it takes into consideration things like our lean work, our continuous improvement. We took the opportunity to bring things like accommodation strategy into one place. We continue to deliver similar work to the Delta programme, which is things like the introduction of PLPR and all those new capabilities. And we're also now looking at our future operating model to make sure that we can develop it in a sort of structured and continuous way. One part of my job specification is the safety portfolio. So my lead for that is Camilla Curtis, and we work very closely with Pretty and the safety team to make sure we deliver initiatives like the Good Act programme, etc. So over and above that, I've recently taken over as the exec lead for the R Safety Workshops, and so I'll be returning to that at the end of this session. So I took over after about a year or so when Stuart Furson was in charge. And like I say, I'll cover off where we're heading in that direction. So whilst I don't have a massive amount of operational experience in the railway environment, I do have large involvement in safety, and I have a strong commitment to improving it. So that's me. In terms of the format for today, as I said, during the course of the last week, we've had four incidents. They've been varied in nature, and I'll just run through them so that you're aware of the incidents taking place. The first one was last Friday, the 24th of July. In this instance, which happened at Guildford, we had the situation where an RRV was destabilised and dropped a number of items onto a cattle grid, causing slight damage to that, but mostly no injury to individuals. So whilst the investigation of that is ongoing, it really reinforces the need for a stable base when we're actually carrying out our work. On Sunday, we had a further two incidents. The first one related to a freight driver. He was at Warton Junction. He popped out of his cab for a personal needs break. And when he tied back into his cab, he looked up at a signal. It was only when he got back into his cab and had started to proceed about 10 yards or so, he realized that he'd looked at the wrong signal. So that was essentially a matter of maintaining the concentration, ensuring that just when you change your viewpoint from that which you're used to, you make sure you pause before you press ahead. On the same day, Sunday the 26th of July, we had an instance at Farncombe, which related to a signaller, and there was a tight handover from the end of a procession to the first train running at 11:30, and it had been fixed up that the signaller was going to receive a call from the COS. They received a call, but it was not to close the procession, it was actually to ask for a further 2 minutes on it. And at that point, the signaller placed the signal to proceed. That's also under investigation and the normal procedure that is underway. And then finally, then, over the course of last week, Wednesday the 29th at Guildford, we had an RTA involving an S&T van, which mostly, again, didn't cause any injuries. But the golden hour process was applied to that. So those are the four incidents that took place. As is normal on the safety hour, in terms of our attendance of this and other events, seeing a pleasing increase. We're currently at about 70%. We're conscious of the fact that achieving 100% is always going to be challenging, given the way in which particularly operations teams work. So that's a pleasing position, although of course we can always promote ourselves to do better. Close calls. For a number of weeks, the number of close calls being reported has been lower than we anticipated. So over the fortnight, the last fortnight or so, there have been requests by the management team for more close calls in terms of quantity, but also really focusing on the behavioural close calls and making sure that the quality of what we're achieving is improving. So I'm delighted to say this week we've had 188 close calls reported across the route, which is a fantastic response. When we met as an exec yesterday, we were very clear that this is a great result, but we absolutely didn't want it to be interpreted as being essentially chasing the numbers. So we as a team are committed to the fact that we will analyse the close calls both this week and the previous weeks to make sure that over and above just closing them out in a timely way, we seek to identify wide preventative measures and we'll communicate those back to you to make sure that you are aware of the outcome of your efforts. What I believe the close calls are important to us in achieving is the fact that by looking for risks that exist in all sorts of environments, it's the behavioural change which is really important. So it's making sure that we are constantly on the lookout for things that might happen or instances in the infrastructure or a local environment which may cause us to damage ourselves or our colleagues. So yes, it's great that we've had an improvement in the number of close calls. We're looking to see common themes, and we're also encouraging people to naturally look out for risks that exist. So good news all around. Also good news in terms of the closeout. So about just over two-thirds of our close calls closed out within 90 days. Again, that's good. There's plenty of room for improvement, and we're seeking to do that. Many of you, if not all of you, will be aware of the requirement for us to hold stand-down briefings on driver safety. The three-week period that the driver safety stand-down briefings took place finished yesterday, and the final results for Wessex was just over 81% of our staff participated in and contributed to the stand-down briefing, which is a really good result. We recognised from the outset that capturing everybody within the group is going to be challenging again, typically in the ops area, because we need to allow them to incorporate this into their roster patterns. So we continue to hold stand-down briefings with the aim of achieving 100%. Also, in recent days, we've seen the launch of the summer safety campaign. Trespass, as we know, is a problem for the Wessex route, as it is for most of the routes. In particular, the campaign is stressing the fact that in the longer daylight hours and during school holidays, the incidence of trespass essentially double during these months. And so it's as we go about our daily jobs, and this is across the Alliance, it's seeking to prevent trespass and to make sure that we don't allow people to expose themselves to unsafe environments. Okay, so those, if you like, are the sort of the standard agenda items. The fourth item, which I hope will be of value and interest to you, is sort of my personal reflections on safety. I tuned into last week's safety hour, which Tracy chaired, and she of course, confirmed the fact that she, by virtue of her job, she goes through all of the previous entries in the safety blog. So I thought I'd do the same. And it's quite interesting what that sort of review unearths. What I'm keen to do is not to focus on negatives, but be mindful of the fact that because of the sustained and continued safety work by the vast majority of the groups, we prevent an awful lot of accidents happening. But it is helpful nonetheless to look at the accidents that do occur. And in particular, to try and identify some trends, and from a personal perspective, to understand whether we as a team and whether we individually are focusing on the right areas. So I look back over some of the accidents that occurred between May of this year, right up to this week. And the categories I put the incidents into sort of fall into three in terms of the rate at which they occur. Top of the pile, as many of you will predict, was road traffic accidents. Sitting below that was a category which include things like individuals where they've lost concentration, or there's been an instance whereby we've had a miscommunication, or the incorrect equipment that's been used, and those groups sort of come together in terms of where a set procedure for whatever reason wasn't followed. And then the third category covers things like a recurrence of a known fault, or where individuals have taken a shortcut, and knowing that that there was a right way to do it, but they seem to do it quicker or with less effort. So those are typically causes for safety accidents that have occurred since May. And what I was keen to do from a personal perspective was just to make sure that we were doing the right things. So clearly we've just had the driver safety stand down. So we are, I believe, as a consequence of that, now much more aware of the risks that we face when we're driving. So I think we're addressing that point. And then in terms of our safety workshops, which are just being publicised now, they start as with the spring series of workshops, there are four events and there are two sessions per event. So the first one kicks off on the 13th of September in Guildford. And then we're in Woking on the 20th of September, Southampton on the 11th of October, and then finishing at Portsmouth on the 19th. Within that, there's workshops and the posters have gone up, and you'll start seeing much more advertising around your locations. I'm really focusing on the theme of don't walk by. And within the workshops, we have three sessions. The first one is looking at risk awareness and how we individually look at risks and work out the best way of avoiding them. There's a section on fatigue, which is an important contributor to risks in our environment. And there's communications, making sure we communicate effectively, not just from a cascade of safety work, but also making sure we communicate on the site to reduce risk. So I think that covers off most of the middle categories, so where we lose concentration, not just because of fatigue, but for another range of reasons, but fatigue is a contributory factor. Or we miscommunicate, where we have misunderstood where things are being carried out and by whom. And risk awareness, making sure we understand what equipment we should be using and the risks we take by not using it. And if we decide to take a shortcut, what the risks we expose ourselves to. And the very final one was a recurrence of known faults. And as I've alluded to, if we can get ourselves into the everyday practice of looking for risks and close calling them systematically, we will reduce risk that we're exposed to, but also become behaviourally much more likely to act safely. So that was an interesting review. And what it caused me to do is then to reflect on instances where my personal safety has been most likely to be compromised. And I suspect, like many of you, you are either just coming back from or just preparing to go on holiday. I've had a very rare event. I've had a sunny holiday in Scotland where I went sailing for a week. And my aim was to get up to the next level of qualification so I've got a bit more freedom to go to wider parts of the world. But it did cause me to reflect on an incident that took place when I was first learning to sail, and that was about 8 years ago. It took place at Yarmouth, so you're familiar to many of you on the route, so just sort of the north coast of the Isle of Wight. Beautiful sunny day, light winds, we had negligible tide, and we had five novice but competent people on board and a very experienced skipper. And we worked together for 3 or 4 days during the course of the week. So things were looking pretty good. And we decided to come alongside a buoy, to take it out of the water, attach it to the boat, and sit there and have a relaxed lunch before heading off in the afternoon. And the method we used was to use a boat hook, which on a slightly dated yacht was sort of basically it's a broomstick with a metal hook on the end. And this is quite exciting. So of the crew, 4 of us were huddled at the front, focused entirely on the buoy, whilst the skipper was at the back trying to bring as close to the buoy as we could so we could hook it out. This was pretty common practice and really shouldn't have gone wrong. But for whatever reason, the person who was asked to use the boat hook to pull the buoy out of the water managed to drop the boat hook. So it's designed to float, and what it did is just sort of bobbed away on the waves, carried gently by the tide. Not a problem, because all we do is just motor around, hopefully come close enough to that, and then we could retrieve it and then go and track on with plan A, which is having lunch on a buoy. As it turned out, because everybody was looking over the side of the boat to where the boat hook was, what we didn't see was the fact that on the other side of the boat there's a rope which dangled over the side of the boat. And boats are fine when the propeller works, but when a rope gets caught around it and twisted tighter and tighter, essentially you can't propel yourself using the motor because it seizes. So that was a really unfortunate event. I kind of focused everybody's mind, but in the grand scheme of things, wasn't the end of the world because it was a sailing boat. We could just whip up the sails, which we duly did. And so we were doing figure of eights now by the stage, trying to retrieve the boat hook, which would then allow us to tie up against the buoy. All wasn't completely lost, but what then happened was that it was predictable, we just hadn't predicted it, and that was that the wind gradually died down and the current sort of sweeping in from the western end of the Isle of Wight gradually took us closer and closer to the pier at Yarmouth. So we were finding that actually we had a limited ability to propel ourselves forward, and it was only then that our focus was, our attention then became focused on the fact that the reason the pier was there was that the limited Yarmouth ferry came across every 30 minutes. And prior to this event, it was irrelevant, but now that we were sort of bobbing around pretty motionless just next to the pier, all of a sudden the ferry's presence was a significant risk to us. As it was, we managed to just get enough propulsion to come around the end of the pier. We said goodbye to the boat hook, and eventually we came into a different port under sail, which is very challenging, and managed to moor ourselves up. Interesting, you may say, but why on earth did we allow ourselves in a very benign situation to gently drift literally into a position whereby we were at risk? I will put it down to a number of things. First of all, the initial incident, the boat hook going out of the side, was not it's a pretty trivial event, really. It happens reasonably regularly, and you just go and sort it out. However, what then happened was that people didn't nip it in the bud, and we focused too much on that particular incident. And although it's common practice for people to keep an eye out for things like ropes over the side, we were all distracted on something which was, frankly, more exciting. And so what was a trivial event then grew into a more serious event. Everybody thought that somebody else was looking over the side to see it. And then finally, because we had this escalation in risk, we suddenly found that we were in a much graver situation because circumstances changed and we were unable to respond to them. So what do I draw from this? Well, first of all, prevention is better than cure. So if you're in a situation whereby you can stop something occurring and, more to the point, escalating, it's far better than having to respond to something which has already gone wrong. It reminded me very much of the safety conversations training that took place about 2 years ago, waiting for the Swiss cheeses to align, and so making sure that when something goes wrong, you react positively and put it right before the next hole is aligned. And it just reinforced to me the importance of communication and responsibilities. So that is an occurrence that happened to me. It was very much away from the railway environment, but I believe there are lessons that can be learned. And certainly the way I operate now is when something goes wrong, I tend to pause and look around and make sure that we nip the situation in the bud, rather than allowing potentially slightly more serious event to occur and just to escalate into a really unsafe position. In terms of how we can therefore prevent and sort of take that method into life on the route, I think prevention, we can keep an eye out for each other. So I know certainly a number of professions, including the military, have a means by which you look out for your buddy. So whereas you may perhaps forget to put your protective glasses on or to carry gloves, if you're buddying up with somebody, they can prompt you and keep that external perspective. I think the external perspective is important, so we're having a renewed focus on safety conversations, and at all levels of the management, we're seeking to carry out more tours with the front line to make sure that we can contribute to maintaining a safer environment. And then I think clear responsibilities and comms. So that's the way in which teams operate and the familiarity they have. But I hope, as I've identified through this discussion, that the fact that we're promoting the R Safety workshops in September and October, which focus on the don't walk by principle, it will reinforce the real importance of picking up things before they cause harm and making sure that we prevent future harm by really being advocates of close calling risks as we see them. So those are my reflections, a little bit of analysis. I generally, I'll conclude from that, that we can all contribute significantly to our own and our collective safety. And I think broadly speaking, we are approaching the right risks in the right way. And what I don't want to do is to summarise too much the work that the PIT is doing in terms of the Workforce Safety Improvement Programme, which again I'm absolutely confident will be attacking those same areas of risk. Those are my personal thoughts. What I'd like to do now, Julie, if I may, is to throw the lines open to the callers. To essentially two things. First of all, I'd really be interested to hear your personal reflections, whether they be inside or outside work, in terms of risks that you've faced and ways in which you've mitigated them. And secondly, whether you agree with me that what we're doing within the route is aligned to our key risks, and whether you think there's something more we should be doing. So, lines open, please, Julie.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Okay, I will remind everybody one more time. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key.
I think there's a certain reluctance to come forward, Julie, but so I'm happy just to summarise and just to look forward. So I hope that the personal reflections were valuable. I think there are lessons we can sort of take from our personal experience and bring into our safety environment. In terms of are we doing the right things, if there's any feedback, essentially what we did after the Spring 16 our safety workshops was launched a survey, which was really invaluable in terms of making sure we are proceeding in the right direction. They made some really helpful suggestions. Some of those suggestions we're incorporating into this autumn's program of our safety workshops. Some are slightly long, require slightly longer to bring into effect, but we'll absolutely bring those in for the Spring 17 ones. And all I would say is that in terms of making sure we're heading in the right direction as a group, attending the Our Safety workshops is vitally important. So please look at the dates which have been published both in the email from the Delta team and also on the posters around our locations. We're currently sitting at 45% take-up, so we're filling up fast. So please find a location and a time which is most suitable to you. Come along and contribute to those three areas that I've outlined. Because it's your involvement and engagement which really derives the value from those workshops. So thank you very much for taking your time. I commend you to stay safe. For those of you just about to be on holiday, have a wonderful time. Recharge yourself and enjoy time with your loved ones. And we look forward to seeing you when you get back. Thank you very much indeed.